This is the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we help you connect to the people, places, and geography of what you read in God's Word. That's very, very important. And of course, we connect you to the current events happening in that region of the world. And there are a lot of things going on in the Middle East, as there usually is. And of course, since the war of October 7th, 2023, Israel is now facing probably seven fronts of people that just want to destroy them off of the face of the earth. And I've got Fred Jackson on the show today to talk about some of the amazing developments that have happened this week in Israel and the Middle East. Fred, thank you for joining us. We're going to get to that here in just a minute, but you and your team with American Family News do an awesome job. I want to thank you for your work, and people can actually reach you if they go to AFN.net or they can download, you know, an app for their phone. Thank you guys so much for what you guys do.
Well, I tell you what, John, we love the Jewish people. We love the nation of Israel, and we look at Israel in the context of Scripture. And as Christians, you have no choice but to support Israel. And, you know, we have thousands of years of history of Israel and God's dealing with the Jewish people, going back to the call to Abraham. We look at all of this, and it's amazing when you look at what's happening today. Israel is still under attack by much of the world. And you talk about consistency with Scripture, there it is. And people scratch their heads. You know, it's a tiny, tiny little piece of geography. Why is it that the world is so against the Jewish people? The only way to understand that is spiritually, because it makes no sense outside of understanding that God loves the Jewish people. He is there to protect Israel. But there's a whole lot of people who do not love Israel, who are against God's plan for the Jewish people. And that's why you see the tensions that we're witnessing today.
Fred, we want to get into some of the current events that happened this past week in the Middle East. And tensions there this past week have skyrocketed over something that happened in Lebanon, where almost 3,000 terrorists received a beep on their pager. Now, this is a beep that shook Beirut and thousands of Hezbollah terrorists there in Lebanon. What do we know?
You know, it's really interesting, John. When I came into work on Monday morning, there was a story out of Jerusalem that Prime Minister Netanyahu had met with his cabinet, and they announced publicly that they would be intensifying their engagement with the Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. That's interesting because we know Hezbollah on October the 8th, the day after the Hamas massacre in southern Israel, Hezbollah terrorists attacked Israel on the northern front there, Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. So it's been ongoing, but for the most part, Israeli military action has been, for obvious reasons, in Gaza. So it was kind of interesting to read that on Monday morning. And then we learned Tuesday and Wednesday, we started to get the story of pagers. These are pagers exploding. These are the pagers that the Hezbollah terrorists were apparently carrying. Now, we understand the Hezbollah terrorist leaders had decided to do away with cell phones because they were worried the Israeli military could track the presence of where these Hezbollah terrorists were using their tracking devices on cell phones. So apparently what we have learned is last spring, the Hezbollah terrorist group decided, okay, we're going to do away with the cell phones. We're going to get these pagers. Now, apparently they purchased these pagers from a company based in Hungary. There is some talk still that maybe this was some kind of dummy company. Apparently these particular pagers are designed by a company in Taiwan. But the purchase was made with this, what some people says was a shell company set up by the Israelis in Hungary. Hezbollah terrorists purchased these pagers. And what happened, these pagers began to explode. The talk is that these pagers are run with lithium batteries, and somehow, and now we have to be careful, Israel has not come out and said we are responsible for this. But there is fairly large-scale much-deserved suspicion that the Israelis were involved with this. So they designed, whether it was a combination of software and something inside these pagers, that at a certain signal given to the pagers, these pagers would all explode simultaneously. And so we had these Hezbollah terrorists all over Beirut and in other places exploding, causing serious injury to the Hezbollah terrorists. At least 24 terrorists died. Within 24 hours, because some of these terrorists apparently reverted to walkie-talkies, some of the walkie-talkies began to explode. And so that was the story that just erupted this week.
Also wounded was the ambassador to Lebanon from Iran.
Yes.
So he was wounded. He apparently had one of these pagers, and these pagers are used by these Hezbollah terrorists so that, okay, I'm paging you to go to your rocket launcher so that you can go and do, you know, bad things to Israel. And I think at this point, Fred, it's so important for everybody who's listening right now to understand that Hezbollah is a terrorist army organization. They are funded by Iran. They have over 200,000 rockets surrounded and facing towards Israel. And since October 8th, 2023, the day after October 7th, the massacre of Jewish people there in Israel, they have bombed Israel over and over with thousands of rockets. So you have to put all of this in context. Israel is at war in a lot of different ways, including with Hezbollah.
These terrorist groups, John, are not interested in peaceful coexistence with Israel. Let us remind people that on October the 6th, there was what some people called two states existing side by side, Gaza and Israel. And it was the Hamas terrorists, as is always the case, initiated this attack. Let us be mindful of this. Israel just wants to live peacefully, surrounded as they have to by these terrorists. Prime Minister Netanyahu has often said, we live in a rough neighborhood. That has to be the most understated situation of what Israel faces on a daily basis. And we have this history of the Palestinian leadership we know are out to basically wipe Israel off the face of the map.
What we are hearing too, Fred, and I want you to comment on this, is that the Israeli government put out a statement saying this is a new phase in the war. Now, they're not talking about the beepers, but they have moved a tremendous amount of resources into the northern part of Israel where all of these rockets are coming from Hezbollah. 60,000 plus Israelis have been uprooted from their homes. They're living in all different parts of Israel. So a new phase of the war, they're moving more and more resources to the northern part. So we don't know what this all means.
Well, in that announcement from Prime Minister Netanyahu on Monday, he said exactly that, is that we are moving to a new phase. And so obviously they feel prepared right now to deal with the Hezbollah threat. In fact, what has happened is that the Israeli army, we are told, has moved one of their elite divisions from the Hamas front to the Hezbollah front in northern Israel. And he said, Prime Minister Netanyahu, it's time we were able to move our people back into their homes in northern Israel. So that's what this is all about. And, you know, the expected, the sad expectation we have now of the world condemning Israel for defending itself continues. And, you know, there was, you know, no surprise, United Nations, I think there was actually a vote condemning Israel for using the pagers, for using the walkie-talkies, etc. You know, they don't condemn Hamas, or they don't condemn Hezbollah when they send rockets into Israel, killing men, women, and children. But it always seems with the United Nations, condemn Israel. Israel is always in defensive mode. They're defending their right to exist. That's simply what they're doing. And, you know, sometimes we have to remind people when we use the term terrorists, that's exactly what they are. They are terrorists. And in Lebanon, they exist there in large numbers. And as you pointed out, the Iranian ambassador to Lebanon was there. He was either had one of these pagers or he was standing near one of the Hezbollah terrorists. Iran funds Hamas. and funds Hezbollah. It is a wicked, wicked regime in Iran. It wants to, it stated publicly, wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And so that's what's happening right now. Israel is simply defending itself.
You know, a couple of things about what you just shared, Fred, is Iran's response to this is like, they're going to pay.
Yeah.
We're going to do something. But then the second thing that they said is we don't want a broader war. There's really a lot going on. And the world is like, well, what's the response going to be? We don't really know. But we know one thing. Israel is going to continue to do what it needs to do to defend itself.
Absolutely. Israel has become a big issue in the political realm in this election campaign. And it was very interesting earlier this week, Vice President Kamala Harris, who is at the top of the ticket for the Democrats, she sat down for an interview with three journalists from the National Association of Black Journalists. And the question of Israel came up. And I'd like our audience to listen to her response to this, and then we'll come back and discuss it.
A question for you on that, though. What levers does the U.S. have to support Palestinians in their right to self-determination? And is it even possible as Israel's ally?
Well, absolutely. I have been actively involved in, for example, meeting not only with Israeli officials, but with Arab officials to talk about how we can construct a day after scenario where we participate in ensuring those exact goals that I outlined, including as part of the principles that should be applied to those goals, that there be no reoccupation of Gaza, that there be no changing of the territorial lines in Gaza, that there be an ability to have security in the region for all concerned in a way that we create stability and let us also recognize in a way that ensures that Iran is not empowered in this whole scenario in terms of the peace and stability of the region.
Word salad, word salad. That's what I'm hearing, Fred. Give us your take on what you heard her say and what it means.
All right. So what we heard there is Vice President Kamala Harris. Here's her solution. She says we need a ceasefire. Well, Israel is agreeable to a ceasefire, but you know, Hamas has to meet certain conditions. Number one, they have to give the hostages back. That's number one. But number two, Israel has said that we need to ensure October 7th doesn't happen again. We have to have some controls in place. You heard Kamala Harris say, we have to go back and ensure that, you know, the Palestinians completely control. Israel should not be involved at all in some kind of military occupation to ensure Hamas doesn't go at this again. John, it's kind of like saying, you know, if we go back to World War II, it's kind of like the Allied forces, when they had won the war, then say to the German Nazi army, you go ahead and continue to do what you're doing in Germany. That's ludicrous. And so it is just absolutely insane that Kamala Harris would say, just give it all back to Hamas. And you know what will happen? Hamas will just rebuild again, and we'll have another October 7th. It is the failure to recognize that Hamas is a terrorist group, and it is bound and determined to destroy the Israeli people, the Jewish people in Israel. They don't want Israel to exist. So for Kamala Harris to say, you know, let's just reset the clock prior to October the 7th, and we'll all just be happy and live together. That's not going to happen because of the mentality of the Hamas terrorists.
Those Jewish people that were massacred, Fred, were by Gazan citizens who were taught to hate the Jewish people, eliminate the Jewish people. It's like, how do you distinguish the general population there in Gaza, you know, from Hamas? It's like it's all one big thing. I'm sure there's some people in, you know, Gaza, some of the Palestinians, some of the Arabs there that you know, don't agree with all the Hamas stuff, but the majority of them do.
People have to understand, Hamas controls completely Gaza. Many of these citizens, you know, they're men and women, but they work for Hamas. You know, people who know what's going on inside Gaza understand this. is it isn't just the people who carry the badge of Hamas. It is the citizens who work with them. And, you know, Hamas is the mainstream media takes the fatality figures from Hamas. Got to understand that. It's Hamas that controls the health ministry in Gaza. So they give us these figures. We have no way at all of verifying those things. One thing we have to understand about terrorists, they like to lie. They see lying as a tool. And the foolish thing is that the Western media buys into all of this, John.
Well, they're buying into it, and that's why we always encourage you to go back and get reliable news sources that you can trust. In American Family News is exactly that. American Family News is a source that you can trust. You can go to AFN.net and get your news there. You can download the AFN app and get that on your mobile device. We're talking to AFN News Director Fred Jackson about what's happening in Israel. And, you know, we're going to stay on the political side right now, Fred. Former President Donald Trump actually spoke at a gathering, and he had some really interesting things to say, you know, about Israel and about what he's accomplished as well.
Yeah, he was speaking to the Israeli-American Council National Summit this week. It was on Thursday. He kind of rehearsed what he did when he was president, how he stood strong with Israel, including doing what he said he would do when he ran for president. One of those things was moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But here's a little bit of what he had to say, rehearsing his record of what he did for Israel and the Jewish people when he was president.
Under my leadership, we totally obliterated the ISIS caliphate. We terminated its founder and leader, al-Baghdadi. I withdrew from the horrendous Iran nuclear deal and imposed the toughest ever sanctions on the Iranian regime.
These are things that candidate Donald Trump promised when he was running for president, and he carried them out. And, you know, other presidents had promised this. George W. Bush had promised to move it. I think Bill Clinton did. I think Barack Obama made some promises along that line. But Donald Trump actually did it. He proved himself to be a friend. He talked strong. Donald Trump intimidated Iran. And he makes the point now he's running for president again. He makes the point that, you know, when he was president, things were pretty calm in the Middle East. And, you know, you can ask the question, why was that the case? Because Donald Trump signaled very clearly to the enemies of Israel that if they got out of line, he would respond. There wouldn't be any kind of twiddling of the thumbs to say, what are we going to do? What's politically expedient for me to do? No, he was there to protect and defend Israel. Unlike the current administration, who, let's just face it, the current administration is dealing with a fairly large contingent within their own party, the Democratic Party, who do not like Israel, who are pro-Palestinian, and they stand behind Hamas and Hezbollah and basically say that, you know, they're just trying to protect their livelihoods, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm talking about fairly large Palestinian population in certain areas of Michigan, a fairly large Somali population in Minneapolis. The Democratic Party is trying to appease certain groups within their party. Let's face it, it goes along with their worldview when it comes to the Middle East, is that Israel is the problem and that the Palestinians have a right to demand the two-state solution. You know, Kamala Harris, like other Democrats, they like to talk about a two-state solution. Israel could live with a two-state solution, I believe, if the Palestinians were honest about what their real plans are. We know going way back many years, I think it was Michelle Bachmann, when she was a member of Congress from Minnesota, she went and sat down with the Palestinians on the West Bank. And remember, she confronted them what was in their school books that they were teaching these young Palestinian kids. but to basically hate Israel. So the propaganda machine was there, and she confronted them, because let's remember, the United States government, along with giving financial support to Israel, also sends money to the Palestinians, also sends money into Gaza under the guise of we're helping them economically. But a lot of people think, because we know what has happened in Israel as well, in the West Bank, is that some of that money that the United States taxpayers have been giving to them, the Palestinian leadership goes to reward the terrorists when they carry out terrorist activities against Israel. You know, here we are, John, we're in the midst of this election campaign. And I often say to people, listen to what the candidates are saying. Listen to what the candidates are saying. Look at what they have done. Compare it to what they have done. What the Biden-Harris administration has done over the last 3.5 and 4 years. Look at what they're saying today, the Biden-Harris administration. You know, Donald Trump spoke this week to this Israeli-American Council of National Summit. And he basically had a warning for them, and I want to play a little bit of that for you. He basically had a warning of what some of the problem is with regards to getting someone like him, in this case, reelected, a man who has proven he stands with Israel. Have a listen to this.
If I don't win this election, and the Jewish people would really have a lot to do with that if that happens, because at 40%, that means 60% of the people are voting for the enemy. Israel, in my opinion, will cease to exist within 2 years, and I believe I'm 100% right.
All right, Variant, a couple of points to make from that excerpt from his speech this week to the Israeli-American Council National Summit. What he was talking about, he only gets the support of 40% of the Jewish vote in this country, but he's saying 60% do not stand with him, do not vote with him, and he's quite frustrated about that. And his challenge to them is, you know, if I don't get elected, some of the blame is on those Jews living here in America who decide to vote Democrat or don't vote at all. And he's having trouble understanding that. He also made a prediction there, and I'm going to take issue with the former president on that front. He says if he doesn't win, Israel will disappear within 2 years. Well, I disagree with that. Israel is not going to disappear because I read my Bible. And when the Lord returns, Israel is going to be in place. So I think he went a little bit overboard on that front. I appreciate his passion for Israel and the Jewish people. But to say if he does get elected, Israel will disappear within 2 years, no, that is not biblically accurate. John, I'll put it that way.
What you're just sharing right now, Fred, brings me to the final part of our Middle East report, and that is, how are we as believers to respond to what's happening in Israel, or how should we respond toward the Jewish people and Israel? What's our part in all of this?
My short answer would be read the Bible. And, you know, we can go back to the Old Testament, the call to Abraham. God said, I'm going to use Abraham to create a special group of people that I can manifest my power, my glory through them. And, you know, I go to Genesis chapter 12, as Bible teachers often do. Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Well, John, that's 4,000 or 5,000 years ago when that statement was made. And that is God speaking there, folks. We have the benefit of looking through thousands of years of history, two groups, two countries who went against Israel, and they're gone now. Those countries who have blessed Israel, God has continued to bless. And listen, let's make it very, very clear. Through the years, the United States has blessed Israel, has been its greatest defender. It makes me nervous when it's Republicans or whether it's Democrats, when they start to pull back from that and what it could mean for this country if we stop supporting Israel. God's favor is on Israel and the Jewish people. As I say, not because they are perfect. They need the same salvation that we Gentiles need. They need to trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But God has chosen that group of people. As I say, and read your scripture, the Jewish people have failed God many times, have rebelled. And, you know, we would say, why is it that God still favors these people? Well, he favors Israel and the Jewish people because they are a manifestation of his power. The prophecies with regards to Israel, and when you read the Old Testament, the prophecies that through, you know, the tribe of Judah, that a Savior would come. And we know, as we read the New Testament, and, you know, the Apostle Paul was so clear on this front. When you read the book of Romans, when, you know, he's being challenged. Well, the Jewish people have rejected Jesus. God should be through with them. What does Paul say? No, he's not through with them, folks. You know, we Gentiles, we're grafted into their tree. I'm excited about the future of Israel. God is always going to show his hand. And I hope, John, that the American people will listen and stand by the candidate that's going to stand by Israel.
Fred, thank you for all that you and your team do to keep us informed on what's happening around the world, what's happening in our country, what's happening politically, what's happening in the Christian world, and of course, what's happening in the Middle East. You all do an amazing job with that. And I want to encourage all of you who are listening today to the Middle East Report to please download the American Family News app. Get that on your mobile device. We're available for Android and iOS devices. When you do that, you are going to get truthful information from a conservative Christian perspective, a biblical perspective that you won't hear anywhere else. So please download that app. Get that on your mobile device. You'll be really glad that you did, because as you know, when you look at the news out there, all the legacy media and all of the news sources, so much of it is just biased. It's not truthful. And that's why we need alternative sources to the news and information that's out there. American Family News is that alternative. As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to ask you a question. Will Israel someday be destroyed? What does God have to say about that? Jeremiah 31, 35 through 36 says this. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. Israel will never be destroyed. We need to continue to pray for the Jewish people. Pray for Israel. They are facing so many battles right now, and they need us as believers to stand with them. Please continue to do that. That's the Middle East Reports. I'm John Riley. Thank you for listening.